Drake over here for a second. Drake, one thing we got a pretty cool garage, huh? I tell people this all the time. We, like, you and I, we hit baseballs in there, we hit golf balls in there, we putt, we hit balls in the net, we play around, you ride a little skateboard through there, you ride your scooter through there, you ride your bike through there, you're like, we got a pretty cool garage, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, other people don't have garage floors like that.
Yeah.
We're privileged. No, you can have a garage floor like that. It's so much more affordable than you'd ever believe. It's Carolina Flooring Specialists. These are the most experienced team they can have out there. CarolinaFlooringSpecialists.com. Call them today. 404-8158. 404-8158. The single best in the business is CarolinaFlooringSpecialists.com. So I told Ashby during the break. So some wrong. Oh, I didn't know this. My good friend Ralph Patterson, dear friend, sends me that when they lost to App State, it was on a Hail Mary. So one of his four losses in his eight losses in his career, not losses, his career was a Hail Mary on the road at App State. I know it's the Sun Belt and I know it's the American Conference, but the man's 43-12. 12 losses. The man's 43-12. Whereas, like, Alex Golish in the American Conference was 23-15. Ryan Silverfield in the American Conference was 50-25. I'm telling you, man, Summerall is so much better than all those guys. Summerall is. And, like, he's bright, and he doesn't have that dumb jock look to him. And that, I don't know. I don't think Golden will make it. I don't think Silverfield will make it. I don't think Golish makes it. Now, to be fair, Summerall took over two better situations than those guys took over. At Troy and Tulane, they were better coming in. So I try to look up Troy year by year in football, and I get Troy Aikman year by year. So Troy, when he took over, for Chip Lindsey. Well, I take that back. He didn't take over. Great situation there. Neil Brown had it going. Neil Brown went 10-3, 11-2, and 10-3. And Neil Brown hadn't worked out a whole lot there. Chip Lindsey went 5-7, 5-6, and 5-7. So he didn't take over this unbelievable situation there. It was good before that, but it wasn't great. So I was wrong about that. But at Tulane, obviously it was much better. And he got him to the playoffs. He took him to even a higher level than they had. But Willie Fritz is a terrific football coach. And the 2 years before Summerall was there, they went 12-2 and 11-3. So after they went 2-10 the year before that, by the way. He went from 2-10 to 12-2, Willie Fritz did. But then he goes and 9-5 and 11-3 takes to the college football playoff. My point is, Summerall, he's smart. All this said, still comes down to treasure chest. My guess is Golden does not make it. Silverfield at Arkansas does not make it. Golish does not make it. I think Kiffin makes it at LSU. I think Summerall makes it at Florida. Stein, it's way too early to tell. We don't have a big enough sample size for him. I think Stein makes it, but I think that's more of NIL. And again, now the safety net for Golish and Golding and Silverfield is you get all the Walmart money and all the Tyson Chicken money, and maybe you go out and just buy enough players where you can't screw it up. But like Ryan Silverfield at Memphis, he had a 6-6 year, a 7-6 year. He had two good years, but you know, he was at Memphis for 7 years, and they finished ranked twice. I know it was Memphis. But there were some years in there where, you know, you look at Summerall's losses. I mean, this guy lost to Temple. This guy lost to Tulsa. This guy lost to Central Florida, East Carolina, and Houston, and UT San Antonio. This guy, the next year in 2022, he lost to Houston, East Carolina, Tulane, and Central Florida, and SMU, and Mississippi State. Like, he lost games that, you know, like a winnable games. Last year when he got the job, he lost his last four. When they hired him, or they had him basically hired, you know, they were 8-1, but then he lost his last four games last year. He had some buyer remorse, you know, some of that post-purchase mortem because they lost four in a row to end the season. So, again, I'm just not sold yet on Silverfield, not sold yet on Golish, more sold on Summerall. I think that's pretty clear as far as that goes. Yesterday we heard from I think we've done enough Alabama for the time being. We talked about Alabama. I'm not high on Alabama. We've not done any Texas A&M stuff. Let me get to that right now. I think Elko, first of all, I think Elko is a good coach. I think Elko has kind of played this role that he's chess guy. He got a lot of credit for a 9-4 year at Duke, and he deserved it. First of all, Elko, you know, he cut his teeth as a defensive coordinator at Wake Forest and at Notre Dame and Texas A&M, and he gets a lot of credit for that.
Lots of credit.
Some of it, he was unorthodox in his blitz packages and stuff like that, but some of his defenses were atrocious. And I can go back and show you some of those later on. Let me do this.
I think
yes.
Elko has been he's had no shortage of praise.
Yeah, that we think first of all, he took over for Jimbo, dumb jock, mouth breather, right? But at least Dumbo, at least Jimbo wasn't a drunk. But through that, so let me give you at A&M 2018 to 2021. I don't have 18 here in front of me. In 19, they gave up 22 points a game. In 20, 21 points a game. They did have a good defense in 21. They gave up 16 points a game. So he was pretty good there. Some of the Notre Dame defense in 17, I got to look it up. See how that 17 team did at Notre Dame. Bear with me one second. I can't look it up this way. We'll look it up another way. Anyway, Elko, we act like he's playing chess. Everybody else is playing checkers. He did go 9-4 at Duke in that first year. And in it, he didn't beat any ranked teams.
Notre Dame 2017 went 10-3.
Yeah.
Won the Citrus Bowl.
Okay. At A&M, I mean, the second year at Duke, you went 7-5. He gets credit for beating a 9th-ranked Clemson that wasn't very good. By the way, he had the quarterback there, the Riley, the big dude, whatever that dude's name was.
Who ended up going to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He.
But he beat he beat one ranked team at Duke in 2 years. And that's, you know what, it's fine, it's great.
Can I be honest about that Duke team?
Yeah.
Can I be so honest?
Yeah, please.
I don't know that they were outstanding.
They weren't.
At all.
They were 7-5 that season.
When he got the A&M job, I was a little bit like, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've sold it as his X and O's, man. His X and O's. Let's just be serious about it. It ain't X and O's, pal. A&M is going to spend. And A&M is going to go out and outbid everybody on everything. Elko is no more of a genius than almost anybody else in the game. He's smarter than Jimbo Fisher. But that's not the baseline. That's the baseline for A&M fans. And because he's gone 19-7 there in 2 years, they really like him. Because he took the playoff, they really like him. And he's done a good job. But let's don't act like that Elko is invented the game or anything like that. Like, we'll see. We'll see.
That Duke team in 2023, and I understand that it's Duke, and you're not going to have all the whatever that you would at a Clemson or North Carolina, but 7th in the ACC that year in total defense, 8th in total offense.
Yeah,
I'm not wowed.
We form these opinions of people. When Mike Elko, he lost to Notre Dame in the opener at A&M his first year, and then he went 7-1, went 7 in a row. And so, oh, man, Elko, they're loving Mike Elko. Well, then he lost 4 of his last 5. He lost to South Carolina. He lost to a bad Auburn team. He lost to Texas. Lost to Southern Cal. The only team he beat and from November on was New Mexico State. So he and from November on, he was 1-4. But we already formed the idea that, oh, man, this guy's really smart.
How dependent is he on a quarterback? In the Riley kid and in the Marshall
Reed. Like every
Reeds
coach in the country, a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
And Marshall Reed turned it around there. But now remember last year he lost to Texas and lost to Miami. He was 11-0. Was it 11-0 or 12-0? He was 11-0. But then he lost to Texas. They looked too good there to me. And then they lost. And then they laid an egg against Miami. So my point is, yeah, they're going to be so good. Elko's going to look like this great coach. I just don't think he's chess master. He's thinking 20 moves ahead of anything. I don't think that's the case at all. Smarter than Jimbo? Yeah. Smarter than what you had there? Yeah. The surprising part is A&M's have been so bad for so long, they're so starved that they can elevate a guy to make it sound like that he's this, oh, man, his mind, his brilliant mind. No, let's be clear. You spend the money A&M's spending, Elko didn't have to be a great coach. When everybody else offers $500,000 and then you offer $1.2 million, guess what? Oh, man, Mike Elko, that's chess. That's his chess he's playing. He's playing with the war chest of A&M money, of the oil money. That's where that comes from.
And it's that time of year again, man. This is the best time to be a Texas A&M fan of whole season.
Hadn't been good in November, I can tell you that.
It's, listen, July and early August, that is prime time.
Yeah.
A&M fan. Because even last year, it's the best season they had in 100 years. And still, what do they do?
Didn't win anything.
Nothing.
Didn't win the West. Didn't beat Texas. Didn't win a playoff game. He's good. They're going to win.
If they're going to win, but they could probably be this year. Should have been last year. We'll see.
Marshall Reed is an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah, he is.
Unbelievable athlete.
I'm a big fan of his, actually.
Yeah. We'll see. Hey, my friend Red checking in. Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines. Good morning, Red Martin. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Mickey. How are you, buddy?
Blessed, man. So blessed.
Yeah. I'm driving back from Columbia. I had to take a guy to treatment this morning down here in Columbia.
So you took a guy to treatment already today?
Yeah. Headed back now.
You ever think about this for a second? I had a buddy of mine that he was in the military, and he was a military hero, and then he got out, and then he was 33 years old. He goes, man, the best thing I've ever done, I did it before the age of 33. Like, what are you going to do the rest of the day that could top that? You got somebody in rehab today. You know, you gave somebody a chance at life today before 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, I just got to pray for this guy a bunch. You know, I was telling Ashby, this disease of addiction is so powerful that this guy's been to, this would be his fourth treatment in less than 4 or 5 months. And he was riding down here telling me how he is a functioning addict. And he's homeless. He has nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing but the bags that he's carrying. And he told me that he can function. Using drugs.
Sad, isn't it?
Sad.
It is sad. We were talking about somebody else, and I don't want to get into the privacy on the radio, but like the situation that one of your friends has there and what she had been through in her life and the mask, all that, man.
Yep.
That's just tough. So prayers for sure. And hey, by the way, you've seen rehab before where, I mean, just because it failed the first few times, man, who knows? It might not fail. We've got to keep giving it a shot. Keep getting on the horse. Who knows? Hopefully.
Yeah. I've been 32 of them, so.
And through it all, Cassandra was the one. That's your best rehab you ever had.
Yeah. That's absolutely my best rehab. Without a doubt.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But I wanted to ask you, Mickey, about, now, I know the SEC commissioner, he seems to be like a real jerk. Is one of the hiring procedures is you have to be a jerk to be in the SEC?
Well,
is there any real quality coaches other than the Vanderbilt coach in the SEC?
You know how you, when you go through boot camp, they had to train your mind and train your body? And you come out as a soldier, right? Well, the SEC kind of do that as well. So you go through all of the propaganda, all of the, it just means more. And they give you the talking points of either, oh, man, we were just beat up too far to the regular season, or else we didn't care in the postseason, or else it's that kind of, they give you all those talking points. And then you have to play along. And you have to go, in this league, it's just different. It's just until – I didn't know it until I got this league. So, yeah, they all kind of buy into that, and they do that. Because, who they're selling it to, they're preaching to the choir, man. It'd be easy to go – it'd be easy to be a preacher at a place where everybody wants to believe in it and everybody buys 100% of the word. Go preach to the unpreached. That's what's tough, These fans, they want to believe all that. I can tell you how great it is. They want to believe it for sure. It's a good point.
I was looking at all the things on TV about the SEC, and I was like, did this guy just explain cheating?
Yeah.
Driving down the highway?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. Yes. 100% he did. He explained it was cheap. And we valid. I mean, we tried to oh, what's the word I'm looking for? We try to excuse like what cheating. When everybody does it. We got to do it, and everybody's driving like, no, you don't have to.
Yeah.
You still don't have to.
Yeah. And then I read Paul Feinbaum, and I'm like, is he not the commissioner of the SEC?
Oh, yeah.
Because all of them think like him.
Paul Feinbaum.
It seems like.
Paul Feinbaum likes paying his mortgage, and he likes investing into his 401k. So he likes the paycheck that he's given.
Right.
And he earns that paycheck every day by telling you that despite the fact that Alabama's not very good, that Alabama's good. And despite the fact that Auburn's not very good, then Auburn's good. Tennessee's not very good, Tennessee's good.
Like, South Carolina is showing signs of life.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He knows it because, again, he likes his 401k. He likes paying his mortgage. He likes driving the car he drives.
Yeah.
And so, thus, he sells his soul, and it's for sale, and he sold it. Good. Good for him.
I was thinking that the SEC media was taught more about Dabo.
Yeah.
Who is the opposite of all of this.
Yep. Yep. No doubt. No doubt.
For real.
Hey, where are you on the way back? Where are you right now?
I'm about to get back on. I had to go to Lexington, so I'm about to get back on 26 in about a minute and then head back.
If you're in Lexington, you should stop by. My sister would have made an early breakfast for you down that way. Let me know next time you go down.
Yeah, I wish I'd have known. I'm a little hungry right now.
All right, buddy. Hey, always appreciate hearing from you. Drake and I might see a Sunday. Depends on, we got some other things. We might see Sunday.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
Because we got a church from Gowansville going to do the meal this Sunday.
Love it. Love it. We might see you.
All right,
buddy. Take care of yourself.
Okay, bud.
All right, man.
All right,
I just told you about Elko. I'm going to surprise you on this one.
Ooh, I'm excited.
I'm not a Sarkisian fan.
Not surprise me at all.
I think Sarkisian is not even a checkers master. Tell you about that. Short break, much more on the other side right after this.
Speed on the bases, power at the plate, Gold Glove defense across the diamond. The Stars of Atlanta are ready to take the field.
Michael Harris going to sprint back, and he somehow makes the catch Willie Mays style and goes into the wall.
For every pitch from March to October,
we are your home for Atlanta Braves baseball.
Right here on The Roar.
The Upstate Sports Authority, 105.5 and 97.5.
The Roar,
where every day is game day.
Had all the Arthrex people in town yesterday. I was telling them, hey, man, go by Elkmont. It's a pretty cool place here because we do mountain hiking and we do boating here. We do paddling and paddle boarding and go rent that and get out on Lake Hartwell, get on Lake Jocassee, get on Lake Kiawee and go do all that. And so I tried to talk them into some of that. Hey, the bottom line is for some of the ladies, they came in for the women's clinic. Ladies go, oh, by the way, I didn't even ask you. I'm going to talk Sarkisian next segment. I'm going to ask you about your mom and ladies' clinics, do all that. Elkmont Trading Company, get your game day apparel. Ladies, get your boutique apparel stuff. Get all that great stuff. The Z-Supply and the Free Fly and the Viore, all that comfortable clothes. I'm a comfort clothes guy now. They do a great job of it. What the good folks there wanted to tell you is come out and see them for football season. Get ready. Get some of the great materials to keep you cool in the summertime. We love it. It's our awesome friends at Elkmont Trading Company. 93 and 123 here in Clemson. Go by and see Elkmont Trading Company.
With 13 straight hours of local programming,
we've got you covered all day.
Your extensions that you did, any of your past taxes, back taxes, doing any of your amendments, they're planning taxes for you. I love this company. Love what they've done for us. Hey, if you're forming a company right now, do it. Start it off right. Like, don't start off in the hole. Find out what kind of LLC you need. Find out how the payroll should go. But let's set the thing up in advance to be successful. Machines run better when they're set up to be successful. So, they're great friends over at Patterson Tax Service. Let them set up your trust and your 501c3s. They'll do all that for you. So, great friends, Patterson Tax Service, 864-859-8289. Before we get Seminole, Ted, you went to ladies' clinic and your mom went to ladies' clinic.
It was electric. It was awesome.
Awesome. There was some apprehension going into it, a little nerves, but everything went good.
Everything was great. The nerves mostly were stemming from my mom's outfit And she looked great. Put a great ensemble together, yes. I would say. Went over to Elkmont. They were awesome, man. They had everything you would need.
Yep.
Great vendors. Great people. People were super nice.
Will Clinton told me that he's at dinner and he likes staring at people, trying to make faces at people before when they don't recognize him. And they said that your mom thought that he was the weirdest guy in the world or something. But he was trying to make fate, like just staring at you, or whatever, before you got your attention, or making funny faces or whatever. But I guess you saw them at dinner before, so that was good. Your mom got a chance to meet Dabo.
She did. Yes. Yeah. Awesome. I wasn't gonna let her. Because meanwhile Drake Plyler is just crushing push-ups over here. He's a beast.
He's done more push-ups this morning before 7:30
than most people do.
Than I've done in 2 years.
In
10 years.
A decade.
Yeah.
Look at him.
Pumped up. He's got in beast mode for 7:30.
He's ready
this
to go.
But a good ladies' clinic.
Great ladies' clinic. Ton of fun.
Awesome.
Happy we got to go.
Awesome. Glad to hear that for sure. Let me get Seminole Ted. Then I'm going to tell you the Sarkisian stuff. 654 Roar. Pratt Injury Phone Lines right now. Good morning, Seminole Ted. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, Mickey. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I want to talk about the Mensa coach we used to have, Jimbo Fisher, so-called Mensa. You know, yeah, he won a national championship. And, you know, there are those in Florida State circles that want him back. Yeah, you know, it's like remarrying your ex-wife after you get a divorce because she cheated on you.
Right. No,
why would
can't
you do
it.
That?
He left. He talked bad about it when he left. He left you in bad shambles. Jimbo is not smart enough to run a $100 million organization. Right now, X and O-wise, and Jimbo got a lot of credit at LSU and Auburn and some places. He had some talent. But Jimbo's not smart enough. To be a head football coach nowadays, it's not about X and O's. It's about being the leader of men and leading the entire building. And it's about organization. It's about emotional intelligence. It's about leading a $100 million organization. And Jimbo Fisher's not capable of leading a $100 million organization. Can't do it. It's going to fail for long term.
I agree 100%. And when you look at what football was when Jimbo was there in the 20-teens and what football is now,
yeah,
you've got to be able to manage NIL. You've got to recruit, re-recruit, and re-recruit people.
Yep.
You know, you have to keep them from leaving every year. You have to bring new people in. And there's not the resources here that he had at Texas A&M.
Yep.
And he's just not a good manager of people. And to your point, look at how empty our cupboard was when he left.
Yep.
You know.
Here's your problem. Taggart wasn't the guy either. And I'm going to tell you the guy you got now, Norvell's not the guy either. Florida State, I have so much respect. Let me tell you a similar thing. I sat in Doak Campbell and watched my team get beat 56-7, 49-0, all that. I think of the spirit of Tomahawk Chop, what Bobby Bowden had built there and all that. And I think you're a top 10 program. Unfortunately, you keep hiring these guys that can't get it done. So here's the good news. This is the end of Norvell. He won't do it this year. It'll be a failure this year. He'll be out. Thank goodness you can just get rid of him. But go get a Willie Fritz. Go get a really smart guy that is really good and can run a program. Go get Sonny Dykes. You know what I'm saying? Go get a guy that can be smart enough, maybe Kenny Dillingham, and get the thing done. And you can do it again and get back on top again. But right now, you're in this hiring deal to where Tennessee did the same thing. Like, just keep hiring bad coach after bad coach, and it's just not going to work.
No, I agree. And, you know, Norvell has had his upsides. I mean, he won an ACC championship on a 13-0 regular 13-1 season.
Yeah.
You know, he's had some up moments, but overall, watching the collapse the last two seasons, just unacceptable. So I think anything less than 8-4 and he's done. And if he loses bad to either SMU, Alabama, or if that Furman quarterback that's now at New Mexico State finds a way to beat us on opening day, you might not see him in week 4.
It's a bunch of good guys that could turn Forrest's head around. All right, buddy. Always good to hear from you.
All right, thanks.
Go get a Lance Leopold. Go get guys that I think you get, I don't know, can you get Kalen DeBoer? Does he want out? He acts like he doesn't want out.
Texture makes a good point and says they missed out on James Franklin this past season.
Yeah, James Franklin can lead it. He's smart enough to do it.
I think so. I like the Sonny Dykes call. I think he's a good coach.
Leopold, Sonny Dykes. I told you, Kenny Dillingham. Like, there are guys out there that can do this, that can get this thing done, and would do a terrific job for you. Willie Fritz would win so big in Tallahassee. But you can't go hire Willie Taggart and then go hire Mike Norvell. Like that, it's just bad hire to bad hire, and it just doesn't work. I got one quick thing before we get the Sarkisian stuff. I talked to you earlier in the show. As a man, my dad taught me this, like, the most important part of a fight is, like, you got to size the guy up. And, like, you look at him, is he got it? He got in his eyes. What's he look like a little bit? Like, no sense in fighting somebody that you can't take. So you might not take him anyway, but, like, okay, size the guy up a little bit. You made the point. Women don't, y'all don't do this, do you? Do you ever look at him like, you know, in a cat fight, I could take that girl down so fast?
I don't think so.
You don't do that?
I don't think I've ever done that with somebody. Yeah. Do y'all do that?
I think this. And guys, check in with me on the text line. The older I get, like, I don't do it anymore. I still do things that I did a long time ago. I still, like, when I'm in a big city, my head's always on a swivel.
Same.
I'm always working out, you know, waking up around me, like, looking. I'm looking. Anybody got their long coat on with a long gun underneath that coat or something, you know? Anybody got a book bag that they're going to drop off somewhere? Like, I'm always, like, I'm thinking I don't want to be on CNN today.
No.
I don't want to be a witness. Eyewitness said, what happened here, sir?
You don't want to be a man on the street.
No. Let's go down. What's your name, Mickey? Yeah. Well, what'd you say? Well, I saw the guy come out, and he started. I don't want to be that guy. So anytime I'm in a big city, like, I keep my – I don't keep any money in my wallet. I put my money in my sock, you know. I keep a wallet around, all, but, like, I just don't carry any cash around with me. And everybody's a threat to me. And look, when I go in a restaurant.
Some stinky cash.
I fake that it is stinky. When I go in a restaurant, I face the door when I sit down.
My dad does too. That's a dad thing, I feel like.
I want to know who's coming in there, who's going out. It's a true story. I'm at a barbecue restaurant. It's no longer here in Clemson years ago. And this cat comes in, and he's got a book bag. And he lays the book bag down, and he goes to the bathroom. And I told the person I'm with, I went, this guy ain't out in 2 minutes. I mean, I don't know what his constipation issue might be or something like that, but this guy ain't out of that bathroom in 2 minutes. We're out of here. I ain't sitting around and being a victim of some of that. Anyway, I'm always about that. I have let go of the size everybody up deal. Like, you know, deep down, you look at me like, I can take that guy. I don't do that anymore. I hope my fighting days are over. They never really began.
I bet you they are. Your sizing up days.
Texture said, I always sit with my back facing the wall or facing the door. Someone will tell you to get back on that. Always, man. That's a Tony Soprano thing. Mm-hmm. I got to face the door. I need to know what's coming in. I need to know, like, what's my environment here. And I look at everybody.
Don't stop.
Very good.
Thank you. Soprano's friends check in. Thank you so much. I agree with you, though. And I think there is a sizing up. That's a guy thing, man.
Have you seen 50? Ask Caden if he does that.
Yes.
Caden's 6'7". Caden doesn't size up anybody. People size him up. Caden looks down on everybody and goes, yeah, I'll take that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. What's Caden? 6'7", 225 or something? What is he? 240?
240, I think.
240? 6'7", 240. He ain't worried about it. Us small man's disease, we're ever looking at it. 5127 says, Mickey, as soon as the other guys see your calves, they know they're not messing around with that cat in that fight. It's a bad dude right there, Kevin in Greenville. Kevin. Good stuff.
Mickey, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Show those calves, man. You're ready to go.
Oh, yeah? Bam. 4788 says, the best, worst ending in a show series history. It's a great ending, but it's a terrible ending. It's so disappointing that you think about it, like, it was brilliant.
I thought my TV turned off.
I did too.
My Netflix.
Oh, people got power coming. I mean, people got HBO, got all kinds of stuff. Hey, what happened? What happened? Turned off. Texas, what happened when the restaurant has multiple doors? Main entrance. Simple as that. Main entrance. Ben in Charleston says, hitting all the nails on the head. Every Sunday in church, I got a plan that if a threat walks in, there's a good side to this, that God's has made men to be the protectors, but there's also a negative side, and I realize myself, the fear, unfortunately, but you're right. I got this. I know this. The guy that we sit beside in church, I shouldn't tell this story, but I'll, the guy that we sit beside in church, you know why I'm sitting beside him? He's packing. He is. And he hits him right up. I got this.
He's listening to this thinking all day.
Man,
it's not just
because
he wants to be my friend.
That's what. No, 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 no. I like the guy anyway. But I tell you this. I feel better knowing that Joker's got me. He's got it.
In church, man.
Yeah.
Taking somebody to church.
Shane and Greenville, I had to be able to see all entry points when sitting at any strange place. Marines made me that way. Shane and Greenville, I remember that you were a Marine. But I want to thank you for your service, man. I appreciate you reminding us of that. But yeah, yeah. You're trained. Your mind is trained. I got a great friend of mine who's special ops, former special ops. And I asked him one time about PTSD. He goes, only time it's ever happened to him, he was in Pendleton in the town square, and a UPS truck had dropped a box accidentally. And he drives up on it in his car, and he's like, he slams on brakes. He's like, and he said, had to remind himself, okay, all right, you're in Pendleton. That's a box UPS truck. Like, he had to, his natural instincts was something else. IED, and an IED. And all right, stop. But hey, all right, you're in Pendleton. Everything's okay. That was a UPS truck. Man, wouldn't that be awful to have to talk yourself to rationalize through that?
Golly, I can't imagine.
9082. No one's sizing up Mickey Powell with those 4'6", 40 times. No, not 4'6 anymore. He told me yesterday 5'8". I got to do 5'8".
5'8's doable. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Tiger Harley says, I pack every day. My pants are on, my pistola's on as well. You got to have it, man. You got to carry. I like it. I'm with you. I don't, but I kind of see myself kind of doing that now. Texas says, it's kind of crazy. You got to think that way in church, but that scenario pops in my head, too. Well, it's not your fault. Look, that's not Deontay. That's not your fault, Deontay and D. West, that you feel that way.
I get that way in a lot of public places. Like, I get that way at the movie theater.
I had always on the swivel.
Always.
Escape plans, emergency plans. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Exits.
Yeah.
It's a crazy way to have to think, man. It really is.
Yeah.
But.
Stinks.
Grateful for the people that are protectors in this world, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Man.
In my head, I think I'm a protector, but I hadn't had that moment yet. It'd be interesting to see. Because, I mean, you like the Mike Tyson stuff. Everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the mouth. Seriously, like, I want to believe in my head, oh, I could protect it. And I could
would
do
be.
My family, I would be. I know that. But, yes. Like, if I'm in a – yeah, I think I could. I think I would.
Would you be
Heck, I'm old now. What am I giving up? 20 years? I'm okay. I'll be the hero.
Well, would you be a fighter or a flighter?
I'd be a fighter. I think, in my head at least, like, it's okay to think that. But, you know, then bullets start flying, or, man, that guy kind of starts tapping up, and they're like, I don't know, man. I don't
Mickey's
know.
Mickey's running.
I don't know. Crawling up underneath the seat or something. No, I think I could commit to that.
All right.
Let's roll, guy.
Let's never find out. How about it?
No, I don't want to find out. No, I don't want to find out. That's interesting, though, isn't it? All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. I think you're going to be surprised. I want to rationalize the Sarkisian stuff. I'm not a big Sark fan. I'll tell you why. And then Paul Strelo, 805. Much more to this.
The sports world never stops spinning. We bring order to the athletic calendar.
From sunup to sundown.
We've got you covered with the most up-to-date sports talk on the airwaves.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar.
Your upstate sports authority.
Blue Ridge Heating and Air, Chris Ben, good guys. Smart guys. I have this deal. Actually, I want to be the dumbest guy in the room. I want to hang around smart people. That's not too hard for me to do, but especially when Ben and Chris come in, these guys are bright, man. They're really, really bright in their engineering minds. They got their MBAs to get in the business world and to learn more about that. But, you know, the mold detection units they have, the air guard stuff they did, the quality of the air in your home, the duct systems, how they work on that, how they go about their Armstrong, installing those Armstrong units, or the right here in Orangeburg, or the Arctic Flex units. Let's get on a preventative maintenance plan. Let's do what smart people do. And let's get that HVAC working. And there is a very quick time here in the next 2 to 3 months that they'll be working on fall and getting that HVAC ready for heat pump and getting that ready for, well, wouldn't that be a welcome addition right now to have that? But that's going to happen here soon. Let's talk about that. Let's prepare for that. So great friends at BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
Attention, if you or a loved one has been exposed to bad sports talk radio, you are entitled to better programming.
I have lunch with the fellas. So Drake and I are bachelors till Sunday. So we'll have lunch with the fellas. And I'm hopeful. I am very, very hopeful that one of the fellas will be my friend Justin. Justin is one of the owners at MyAllDry, MyAllDry.com. Maybe Stan checks in. And they get to learn more about what they're doing. Hey, I don't want any mold issues, any water issues to come in your house, but I just wanted to tell you this. You got to know what to do and how to turn to this thing. It's All Dry, MyAllDry.com. Don't go. There's a big box store out there that's kind of known in the area because they're a national brand. And I hear horror stories. You go in there, they're on All Dry stuff, and it says, I tried this other company. I'm not going to mention who the other company is. And they tried to shyster us out of money, and it wasn't great. And then I called All Dry and said, no, you don't need all that. You need to do this. Honest, upfront, dependable. Don't fall. Don't call the big box national people. Call the local people at All Dry, MyAllDry.com. I'll promise you this. You'll get high character people helping you get that behind you fast, rapid response, good people doing things right. MyAllDry.com. 864-863-1234. I have to get to a bunch of texts. I hadn't done any text stuff. We'll get to some more of that later. I've done not enough. We got a bunch of texts coming in. I'll get to some of those. Let me get the Sarkisian stuff. Today, LSU, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Texas go. So Lane Kiffin will be the story. Silverfield will be buried. I think Jeff Leiby can get it done at Mississippi State. Leiby is closer. Year one, Leiby goes, I think I'm saying it. Year one, he goes 2-10. Year two, he goes 5-8. They beat Southern Miss last year. They beat Arizona State, who's ranked 12th in the country last year. They beat Arkansas. And if you just paid a little bit of attention, they lost in overtime to Tennessee and should have won that game. They lost by 2 at Florida. They should have beat Texas. They had Texas beat. Should have won that game and lost in double over or in overtime to Texas. They stayed within 20 of Georgia. He's getting closer. He's turning. I think Leiby can win. I'm not sold he can't win.
They were better last year.
They're better.
And I mean,
and they got a quarterback that might be
of a schedule.
Oh yeah, it's murder. Let me give you this. Steve Sarkisian has as much talent as anybody in this league this year. Steve, if you had to pick talent-wise, Texas is more talented than Georgia. Arch Manning, Cam Coleman. Cam Coleman is a cyborg. Ryan Wingo is the second-best receiver on your team now.
Which, in and of itself, is ridiculous.
It's a good offensive line with Goosby. And those guys, defensively, Colin Simmons is a beast. And Rasheem Biles is a beast. And they got Hollywood Smothers from NC State. They're really like at running back. I mean, Texas has more talent than anybody in this league. I will tell you that they won't win the league. And Texas has as much talent as anybody in the country. I don't think they win the national championship. And here's why. Let me give you the Sarkisian stuff. On paper, Sarkisian, man, he's great. They're preseason this. Sarkisian took over a Washington team after being at Southern Cal. And don't get me wrong, they were, Ty Willingham was bad, and he didn't leave it in great shape. But at Washington, Steve Sarkisian went 5-7, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, and 9-4. Chris Peterson comes in, and Peterson goes 8-6, 7-6, 12-2, 10-3, 10-4. And he had it going. Kalen DeBoer goes to Washington and goes 11-2 and 14-1. Again, Sarkisian was 5-7, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6. Like, he wasn't great at Washington. He takes over at Southern Cal after Lane blows it. And, this is where Pete Carroll went 12-1 and 11-2 and 11-2 and 12-1 and 13-0 and 12-1 and 11-2. Like, they were rolling. And then Lane messed it up a little bit at 8-5 and 12-2 and 7-6. But Lane went 10-4 that year and then gets fired. Sarkisian goes 9-4 and 8-6. So then he gets the Texas job after working his way back through the Alabamas of the world, the NFLs of the world, and he gets the Texas job. In Texas, he goes 5-7 and then 8-5. Now, the last 3 years, they've been better. Last 3 years, they were 12-2 and 13-3 and 10-3. He gets credit because he does some window dressing with some motion stuff. How did the window dressing work out at Ohio State last year, where they put up a whopping 7 whole points? Look, the guy loses games every year. As good – Texas came in preseason number one last year. Texas not only lost to Ohio State, Texas looked bad against UTEP and looked bad against San Jose State. Texas got beat by a Florida team that fired their coach. Texas got beat by Billy Napier in Florida. Texas got trounced at Georgia 35-10. He's an offensive genius. Scored 7 on Ohio State. Scored 16 on Kentucky. Should have lost the Kentucky game. I don't know how in the world that they won that game. And then put up 10 on Georgia. Escaped. I don't know how in the world they won the Vanderbilt game last year. But he had the most talent in the country last year and lost to Florida. The year before, his best year there, where they were 13-3. Even in that unbelievable great season, there were issues.
For sure.
Georgia beat them 30-15 in Austin. Georgia beat them SEC championship game in a good close game. And Ohio State doubled them up. He couldn't put away Clemson. Clemson wasn't even very good that year, and he had a hard time putting them away.
I was going to say, guess who sliced through that defense?
Yeah. In 23, in which they only lost 2 games, they were as talented as anybody in the country that year. But Kalen DeBoer put it to them, and then they lost to Oklahoma that year as well.
So what I'm hearing here is that no matter how hyped up a Texas team is under Sark, they're due for at least a loss or two that they should not have in a season.
He had Arch Manning and all this talent around him. He had, and they did get running backs hurt and all that, but he had Ryan Wingo and Moore and Livingstone and Mosley. He had all these guys everywhere, first-round draft picks and every Heisman candidates, all this stuff, and they averaged 338 yards a game last year. 388 yards a game last year. They rushed 138 yards a game last year. It's cute. It looks good. He was terrible at Washington. He was terrible at Southern Cal. At Southern Cal, he goes 9-4 the first year, and he lost to Boston College. Lost to Arizona State, lost to Utah, and lost to UCLA. The next year, he goes 3-2, and they find out that he's a drunk. And they fired him. Remember, he was drinking at events and around boosters and all that. And I feel bad for him. Hopefully, he's got that behind him. I don't want to make fun of that. But they were 3-2, or 3-3. He lost to Stanford, and he lost to Washington. Maybe at Idaho and Arkansas State and Arizona State. Like, he wasn't very good at Southern Cal. Now, he did work his way back. He goes to Alabama to the rehab deal. He goes to Falcons, and all of a sudden now, uses some motion. He's back again? I don't know. I don't buy it. I think he's got unbelievable talent all across the board. And at Texas, they're going to buy and spend money. But I tell you right now, Kirby Smart's a better football coach. Kalen DeBoer's a better football coach. Brent Venables a better football coach. Elko, maybe. Bob Heupel, yes. Lincoln, who knows?
Heupel's a better coach.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think John Summerall's a better coach.
Where do you stand on Arch?
I think Arch was doomed to fail last year with all the hype.
Agree.
Arch got better. It's a really good question. Let me give you game by game on Arch last year. It's a great question. If you go back and judge Arch, what you saw against Ohio State, you're like, man, this is the most overrated player in the history of the game. And even Arch even struggled after the Ohio State game. Wasn't just their deal. But game by game last year, Arch got better. On the season, 3,100 yards passing, 26 touchdowns, 7 picks. He also ran for 399 yards and 10 touchdowns. It started out bad against Ohio State, 17 of 30 for 170 yards, a touchdown, and a pick, 10 carries, 38 carries. He was just as bad against San Jose State and just as bad against UTEP. Against UTEP, 11 of 25 for 114 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Wasn't good. Later in the year, though, like against he threw for 346 against Arkansas, against Mississippi State. He threw for 328 against Vanderbilt. Threw for 251 against Georgia. 389 against Arkansas. 221 in the bowl game. And he ran for other touchdowns. Where he cut down the interceptions. He had 2 interceptions the last 7 games of the year. So he got better as the season went on. Still not as talented as everybody said, but getting better.
Upward
and improving.
Trajectory.
Yes. Up, yeah, the arrow's up there for sure. Paul Strelo is going to join us. We'll talk Clemson football, Clemson football recruiting. Hour number three kicks off right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
If you're online, you've got the Roar at your fingertips.
From a beach and valley to the right.